Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
We are going today to talk about Father's Day. We're specifically, and I was going to come up here and tackle Zach because he just about took all my message today, but he did a very good job, so you'll just get reaffirmed in this. I wanted today to look at what the Bible says to us about our relationship with our fathers, as well as try to encourage our dads here today. Now, I told my wife, as I kind of, you know, like bounced my message off her, I said, we're going to be talking about fathers here on Father's Day. And she said, I'd just like to remind you that on Mother's Day, you started Lamentations. And I said, yeah. And as a mom, you lamented, right? So she kind of gave me a hard time. So I honor all the moms in the room. Okay. All moms, I want you to be honored, and I honor dads here today as well. So she kind of gave me a good ribbing about that. Today we're going to look at, we want to look at our, how we entreat our fathers, how as fathers, we should act. And I want to remind us of the sacred duty. This is for the fathers in the room. We have a sacred duty, and it's an intimidating duty. And it's one that sometimes we shy away from. And it's this, that we're supposed to represent God to our families. I fall way short of that mark. Anybody else? But the truth is, we're supposed to strive to that. And I think a lot of times we figure that we're not perfect, because I'm not a perfect dad. I'm not a perfect person. And I would probably say that there's not a person in here who meets that qualification. Yet we have a calling to continue. I mean, Scripture tells us to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And there's a reason that God says that. Fathers are important. And fathers have a uniqueness, not saying that mothers are not. But there's something really vital and valuable for about fathers and the relationships that fathers have with their children and in the household. Now, Father's Day, I got to say this from personal experience. Father's Day can kind of be a painful time for some of us. Not for all of us, for some of us. Those of us who've lost our earthly fathers, those of us who've had difficult or dysfunctional relationships with our earthly fathers, those of us who never knew our fathers or were abandoned by our fathers, this day can be tricky to navigate. Okay, and so I really want to be sensitive, but I also want to sometimes just talk about the elephant in the room, is that I want us to understand that it's hard. It's hard sometimes. And the good news, as Zachary indicated earlier, is that Jesus has the answer for every one of those situations, as well as those of us who've had wonderful earthly fathers and grandfathers, okay? That there's something awesome that God has for us. So to get to my first point, we're going to go to Luke chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. I want to read verse 1 to kind of get it set up for you. Because Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of the disciples came to him and asked him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Now, what do we know? John preached a message of repentance, and John's disciples, those who followed John, he was mentoring them, and talking, and he taught them to pray in a very unique way, something that was different, and they recognized that. So Jesus' disciples come to him and say, look, we saw how John, kind of did some things. Would you please teach us how to pray? And here's what Jesus said. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Now, I'm just going to stop right there. He was not giving a verbatim formula. He wasn't giving a mantra. He wasn't saying, hey, you've got to just repeat this. He was saying something deeper. And I kind of want to break into that a little bit here this morning, because there's more there than we realize. Just in this first little part of the Lord's Prayer. I mean, there's so much more. To Jewish people were already a praying people. I mean, there was something that they were very devout in. There were certain times of the day that they prayed. And this was intriguing that they saw Jesus pray differently than all the other Jews. And I'm intrigued, and it intrigued them to the point of asking him, hey, there's something about how you're relating to God that we want a piece of. We want to understand this. And so Jesus begins and he tells them this. In the Old Testament, God was known as the Father of Israel. Okay? He was known as the Father of Israel, but there's no place in the Old Testament where people directly address God as Father. You don't find that anywhere in the Old Testament. You'll say that he's the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. We know that, in fact, they would relate more that they were of Abram's descendant. He was Father Abraham. We sing a song, Father Abraham, and man, he said, we're not going to do the whole song here today. So in the Old Testament, we see something different. Then Jesus comes on the scene, and immediately, Jesus raises the ire of the religious leaders of the time by talking about God as his Father. Now this really irked them. This made them, I mean, this was an incredible claim. And then Jesus began to back it up with miracles to affirm that he did in fact have a divine nature. So Jesus did something here, and he's beginning to teach them. And now in Matthew chapter 6, he tells them, here's how, when he's asked to teach them to pray, he says, look, here's how you don't pray. It's not about these big, long words. It's not about your flowery speech. But then Jesus goes in Matthew 6 and says, look, here's what you do. Get alone with your Father. Go in your closet. Shut the door. And then talk to him. And your Father hears. He hears what's going on in secret, okay? And he tells him this word, Father. Here's why this is important. They didn't relate to God as Father to that point. In fact, he uses an Aramaic term, Abba, which is, it's a term of intimacy. Father, Daddy. Now I get it. Sometimes it's hard for us. A lot of us were raised with a formal relationship with God, that everything is pomp and circumstance, and we need censers of incense and everything, you know, sprinkle. We kind of have rebuilt the temple that Jesus came and tore down to allow us to have an intimate, everybody say intimate, personal relationship with our Father. You know, there's some folks who have pet names for the dad. Some people call their fathers Dad. I've heard Dada. I've heard Papa. You know, all kinds of different things. God wants us to have a relationship with him. Now, Tim Keller puts it like this. The power of our prayers then lies not primarily in our effort, in striving, or in any technique, but rather in our knowledge of God. And our knowledge of God is as a Father. So this is a powerful thing. We can relate to God with our hearts. So my first point for us today, and I have 4 points for us today, is Jesus transforms our relationship with our Heavenly Father. He's no longer some distant deity. He's no longer an unknowable force. He's not something that's way out there. You can know God as a Father. In fact, he wants us to. Romans 8, 14 and 16 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are what, gang? Sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry. And he uses this word again. Abba, Father, Daddy. We can know God as that wonderful Father who is the one who runs after the prodigal, who is the one who goes out to the son whose nose is out of joint and is irritated at how gracious God is. We can know him. We can have this God. We have been adopted into the family of God. And thus, just as Jesus related to God as a Father, we then can relate to God as a Father as well. And not only this, a few things about our Father in heaven. We have a perfect Heavenly Father. He is perfect. And through the blood of Jesus, we have been adopted. So Father's Day for the Christian is really about Jesus. It's about God. So that's an awesome thing. A couple things about our Heavenly Father is Matthew 5:48 says, you therefore must be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. What does that tell us about our Father in heaven? He is perfect. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. Psalm 18:30 tells us about our Father in heaven. This God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He's a shield for all those who take refuge in Him. That's a pretty awesome explanation. I mean, He's a Father who's awesome. He's a good Father. Some of you are nervous right now that I'm going to start singing, He's a good, good Father. I'm not going to start singing that, okay? Look at Revelation chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. Great and amazing are your deeds. O Lord God, the Almighty, just and true are all your ways. O King of the nations, who will not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. We have a Father who is perfect, a Father in heaven who has brought us to Himself through the blood of Jesus. But here's the issue, and I'm just going to talk a lot from my personal experience and maybe from some of those others in the room who may have similar experience to me. Many of us struggle with our Heavenly Father because of our struggles with our earthly fathers. Fathers are supposed to care for us. Fathers are supposed to protect us. Fathers are supposed to provide for us. Fathers are supposed to teach us. Fathers are supposed to train us. Fathers are supposed to be an example. Now, some of us have had wonderful, godly, earthly fathers, and I want to honor them, and I want to praise God for that. And some of us did not. Sadly, that number has risen sharply with the rejection of a biblical worldview. And because some of us have fathers who may have missed the mark, it's hard to view our Father in heaven without skepticism. There are times that we struggle. If my earthly father let me down, how can I trust my Father in heaven? If I was never good enough and I feel like I wasn't good enough for my earthly father, how in the world will I relate to a Heavenly Father who's perfect? I had to deal with having an alcoholic father, a father who struggled with alcoholism. And so what I learned is I had to depend upon myself. Those were lessons that I learned early on, and those were very difficult lessons that don't translate to the kingdom of heaven. Because I want to tell you something. In terms of your salvation, you can't fix yourself. You can't fix yourself. But you have a Father in heaven who knows you and who loves you and now who has reached out through Jesus Christ and who will always be there. So my next point is a difficult point, but it's an important point for us to understand. How we view our earthly father affects how we view our Heavenly Father. You know, once we understand this, this is not a limitation, but it is something that actually helps us. Okay, and this is not at all, I want to honor my earthly father, because I got to tell you this, my earthly father did as good as he possibly could, and he did some amazing, wonderful things, but he wasn't perfect. And because of those imperfections, some of those imperfections, if I'm honest, affected how I viewed God. And I had to begin to wrestle through those things, which is okay, because God walks us through that wrestle. So when we are aware of those dynamics, we can actually be encouraged to overcome them. But I want people to know it's real. It's real. There were years of my life that when people would say Father's Day, that I just kind of was like, cringe. There are times that on those periods where you're like, I feel the loss. Those of us who've lost earthly fathers, this sometimes is a very difficult day because we miss and we mourn them. Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11 is a very, very powerful verse that there's a lot more there than we get. Matthew 7, 9 through 11 says, or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. Then he goes on to this. He says, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now, here's why this is difficult. Remember a couple weeks ago, Roger Storms was here, and Roger did a wonderful job to help us to understand this humor device that was used in Aramaic culture, okay? In Jesus' culture, there was this humorous device that they would use to shine a light on something. Like he said, he'd compare two things that were very different. You know, you're a city set on a hill, and they go, ah, you know, remember that type of piece, how they'd use two different things. Well, look at what he says here. If you ask him for fish, who's going to give him a serpent? So that was kind of bringing the point home. But then he says something, if you then who are evil, did Jesus just call them evil? I mean, you could have taken it that way, but here's what we have to do to understand this. This is almost the same as when Jesus said, if anyone's going to follow after me, you have to hate your father and mother. Seriously, do you think that Jesus was saying you have to hate your father and mother? Because according to the character of God, you're supposed to honor your father and mother, right? It's not that it's using a device, and the device is saying this, in comparison to your relationship with God, That's how important God is for you. That is wonderfully healing, because we are called to love and we are called to honor our father and mother. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a second. But in comparison to that, God is so much better. So for those of you and those of us who've had some difficult fathers, here's the great thing. God is going to be good to us. God wants to bring us into His good graces. God is a wonderful Father. And for those of us who had great fathers, I want to tell you this. Your Heavenly Father is even greater. And so the comparison is the wonderful, awesome, super great example fathers compared to God would even be known almost as evil, just in a comparative way. So this is not trying to tear down earthly fathers, but it's trying to give you a reality of how good God is. How good your father is. Not just your father, your daddy. He's good. Through the cross of Jesus, I tell you what, that's an awesome thing to help us. Through the cross of Jesus Christ, there is in fact healing from any wounds that may have been received in our relationships with our earthly fathers, intentional or unintentional. Because I recognize this, and this was healing. For those of us who may have had some difficult patches with our earthly fathers, here's the deal. When you understand that hurt people, you see, as I began to kind of do some delving and begin to understand, I found deliverance. And now I can see wonderful things that my father did for me. And I honor God for that. I'll never forget one of the first times that I actually gave a testimony in a church service. It was right prior to my dad dying. And he was there in the service. And even with all his disabilities, he was at this camp center at Green Pastures, and he stood up in the back. And I was like, oh my. And to know my father, he was extremely impacted through a stroke and disabled. And he had a hard time speaking. And half of his body, you know, was struggling and didn't have feeling. And he pushed himself out to come to hear his son try to... to minister, not knowing any of this stuff. And I never forget, he stood up in the back of the room, and I thought, oh, what are you going to do, Dad? Are you going to embarrass me? And he just lifted his hand and said, praise the Lord. I honor my father, who in all the stuff that happened in his life, that's the image I remember. We can honor our earthly fathers when we understand that they're not perfect. Even our good and awesome ones are going to have bad days. Any father had a bad day? Any father have a day? Man, I wish I wouldn't have said that. Man, I lost my temper. You know what? There is grace. There is grace. So if you had a great dad, God is even better. If you had, a dad who struggled and was imperfect or non-existent, I got good news. You do have a perfect father who has adopted you through giving his only begotten son to die on the cross to purchase your salvation. And it's not because he was a bad father who hated Jesus. It's that God the Father and God the Son love you that much. What an awesome family of God. And they want to fill you with the Holy Spirit and correct our damaged perceptions of our fathers so that we can have the correct view of Abba. Many times we miss, and I got to say this because this is what I learned in my life. I missed the blessings of my perfect Abba Father in heaven because I was mourning the Father that I didn't have on earth. For many of us, We feel limited to our experience and our embracing of the Father in heaven because we are still locked into our earthly father. And I want you to know we can be free from that bondage. We can forgive, we can be healed, and we can break the hold of any shortcomings that we may have experienced through the power of Jesus. I want you to know that what God says is more powerful than what God says about you is more powerful than what any person on earth says about you. Okay? So, my next point is this. Jesus transforms our relationship with our earthly father. Just as much as he transforms our relationship with our heavenly father, Jesus can come in and heal and make our earthly relationships totally different. Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 4, and Zachary pointed at this one. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, right? Okay, in verse 2, everybody read verse 2 together. Honor your father and mother. Thanks, moms. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well for you and that you may live long in the land. Now, here's what was delivering for me was verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. In other words, verse 1, 2, and 3 say here's how we should behave. And verse 4 says these are imperfect people. Many of us refuse to honor our fathers because our fathers are imperfect. Or we struggle with honoring our fathers because our fathers are imperfect. Newsflash, we are all imperfect. What I'm encouraging us to do is to honor our heavenly father by honoring our earthly fathers. And when we have the power to honor our earthly fathers who are imperfect, because that's why it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. The only reason it says do not provoke your children to anger is because sometimes fathers provoke their children to anger. Any of you ever made your kids mad? Any of you ever made your kids mad because you had an issue? And that's where I go back to our first thing. I never realized that being a father, you know, it was hard for me coming up to recognize that that was part of the job description according to God is fathers have a spiritual job. Your job is not just to teach your kids to play ball and your kids to be good citizens. That's not all of our job. Fathers have a spiritual calling. I gotta tell you, it's a powerful thing when we realize fathers have a spiritual calling to represent or to reflect or to do. And I know we're imperfect, but we gotta start striving. Amen, fathers? I can do better. And fathers in the room, I hope you can do better. I want us to all remember, not just say, no point in trying. We all gotta do the best we can. And when we remember and we embrace that divine, wonderful, powerful calling, God is there with us to empower our efforts. And now, here's the beautiful thing about this. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well for you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the world. Yes, even imperfect people. Here's what happens when we honor your father. So here, how do we honor our father? Honor and thank your earthly father for what he did well. I guarantee you, there's things that all of our earthly fathers did well. Tell them. Tell them. And I'm going to tell you, most guys I know, most men that I know, not all of us are just big touchy-feely people. Okay? A lot of us are absolutely not touchy-feely people, but the bottom line is, if you honor your father by viewing any shortcomings through eyes of grace and allow God to heal and restore. In other words, recognize that our fathers weren't perfect people, and sometimes they were just doing the best that they could. As I began to look through our family and kind of some generational things, I realized that a lot of the things that my father were things that he learned. And then I recognized that I learned some of those same things, and some of those things were great that I want to teach my kids, and some of them I think need to be reformed a little bit. Okay? The next thing is this. In that point, honor and thank your earthly father for what he did well. Here's the other thing that I recognize. When my father passed, and again, man, he did so many things so well, and I want to focus on the good, even though I feel like today I don't want to be dishonoring. I do want to be honest, but I want to also be honoring. The fact is, God also puts the fatherless in families. And for some of us who didn't have fathers, God brought people there. Just like I said with Mother's Day. It's a day not only to honor our earthly mothers. This is a day not only to honor our earthly fathers. It's also a day to honor those whom God has helped father you. I can remember a lot of people. My earthly father was not a carpenter. I've learned, you know, a lot of skills, but they weren't through him. But God brought people around to help do those. And I want to honor those. The next thing that I found really awesome is this. Honoring your earthly father actually motivates them to do good by meeting their deepest need. And here's where Paul kind of does some great work, almost as a therapist. Okay. So women's greatest need is love. Men's greatest need is respect. When you honor your father, when you choose to honor your earthly father, it meets their deepest need, and it motivates them to do better. I tell you, that's a powerful, powerful thing. Now, I'm not at all endorsing abuse, or if there's bad things or difficult things, let's get them healed, let's get them fixed. But in the kingdom of God, there's something awesome of how the family of God works together. Men, fathers, we've got a calling by God to reflect the character of God. Honor, and the next thing about honoring our father is not only our earthly fathers, but our heavenly father. Honor your heavenly father by letting his love transform your life. So part of how we honor our father in heaven is allow his love to transform us, to be whom he called us to be, Abba Father. And to all the fathers here today, I want to encourage you to honor your heavenly Father by putting your priorities in order and striving to bear the image of God to your family. That's an awesome thing. Okay? We can break this any cycles of victimhood, and we can walk in deliverance, and we can see the fullness of what your perfect Father has for you. This is a powerful thing. I'm blessed that as I look around the room, we got fantastic fathers here. And I honor you. I honor all of you, even for the place that you have in my life. And I want us all as a church family to remember to honor God and to work together, to look for those and of how we can encourage and come alongside. But most of all, to remember that we have a Father in heaven, and we get that relationship right, it transforms all of our walk and all of our relationships. I want to bless the fathers in the room today. I want to bless you. If you haven't been perfect and you recognize this, okay, great. Let's start today. Let's continue and strive all the more. I want you to enjoy the wonderful benefits that embracing the calling that God has for you can be such a life-changing experience for you, for your children, for your children's children, and on and on. Amen? Amen. Stand to your feet. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I just praise you and I thank you today that you, most of all, God, you are a good, good Father. And thank you that in knowing that you're a perfect, loving Father, that you've called us as Abba Father, I pray, God, that that we would allow your love to transform us. I pray, God, for those of us who sometimes have hard times, that you can transform our sight, that we can view with eyes of grace, and that, Lord, there can be healing, that there can be liberation and deliverance. And God, today we want to say thank you. Thank you. Most of all, for you being our Father in heaven. But God, we want to thank you for our earthly fathers. We want to thank you, God, for the wonderful things that you use them to teach us. I want to pray, God, a blessing on all fathers in the room today to fully embrace the calling that you have for us, to be bearers of your image, even in our family units. God, I just pray that you would help us to see your will, just as we prayed that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we thank you for the calling of families to transform our communities, to transform our culture, and Father, to share the message of Jesus to those who need to hear. And Father, any person here today who doesn't know you as Savior and Lord, I pray, God, that they could come to know you as an intimate, relational Father who has sent his only begotten Son into this world that we can have a relationship with. We praise you and we thank you for this day. Abba, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's children.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.